You're listening to Short Track America.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
You're listening live to Real Racing USA. I'm Rick Andrews along with Bill Green and Jack Smith. Fellas, we got it going on tonight.
What's the yellow submarine?
Okay, yeah, okay. So anyway, I'm not sure how much this costs, but we got to check into it because, I mean, the pictures look like, you're a real co-host.
Oh, you can pretend.
Yeah, you got producers and they got their own television studio.
We all three should go together.
Yeah, well, why don't we just do it for real?
Yeah. We can practice there. I've seen people practicing. It's awesome, brother.
This is called getting under your skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, most of the people in this room would have no idea.
Not a clue.
It's probably best that they don't know.
Not a clue. Yeah. Not a clue. But
those who need to know, know.
Those in the know.
That's right.
In the know.
Real Racing USA. Out of hand.
Out of hand. Out of control.
Never had control.
Bill, what have you been doing this week?
Let me see. This week I slept, went to work, came back, slept, went to work. Last night I cleaned up my daughter's leg.
He listened to me yell at him on Saturday night. Saturday night live after the races, I yelled at Bill.
Oh, he yelled at me.
I thought it went pretty good.
It was just a rocky start, but it went
rocky
pretty good. We had some. As a matter of fact, one of the guests who
we
are actually
to have a lot of rocky starts.
Saturday Night Live that I had on the air.
Yeah, did you ever call up somebody on your cell phone and, like, you start talking and you hear yourself, like, with this...
Echo.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had that whole problem during that interview.
And they don't hear that. The people on the other end are just hearing you.
Yeah, well, I'm having that problem right now.
Well, take the headphones off.
Oh, me.
I know.
Take the headphones.
I knew that's why we were doing it, but...
You guys check out that video that was on... Karnak's
brawl
breaks out at Glass City 200.
Is that awesome?
Did you see it?
Listen, I'm in the middle of a serious conversation with Don Ream, the promoter of the TBARA series, sprint cars. I'm in the middle of this, and I'm walking from my office into the other room. I go by my family room, and on CNN, it's just these guys are fighting.
Yep, it was live everywhere across
the
country.
It was like right on CNN, right in the middle of the afternoon.
I mean, I've seen...
It's on the message board, but I've never seen nobody do what he did.
No, but that's what I was getting to.
Literally.
I have seen guys reaching under the hood, pulling spark plug wires out. I have seen people backing their trucks. I've seen them come clear across the racetrack. I have never seen somebody jump on somebody's hood and feet first through the windshield.
Did he didn't ever touch the hood.
Down at Charlotte County Speedway about four or five years ago, Johnny Kay He wrecked. He's down in turn one. I was down in turn one with my camera, and I saw him walking back towards the front grandstand, or the, you know, the front straight. He's walking up the track, and I start walking up, but I'm dragging a little bit. I'm not keeping up with him. He gets down to the middle where Randy Fox's car is parked. Takes a running start. He jumps in the air and lands on Randy Fox's hood and jumps up and down three or four times.
Oh, yeah.
This guy went feet first through the windshield.
Oh, he went right through.
Yeah, he went feet first into the windshield.
And it may have looked like he touched the hood, but he never did. He went straight from the ground up and into the windshield.
It was quite acrobatic.
Amazing. And he went through in such a way that he didn't stop. He went all the way up to his hips. It wasn't like he hit the steering wheel.
So he got style points for his
feet. Oh, definitely. Yeah. They were holding
him. He couldn't get his feet out to get off the car. He had to fall out of the car, kind of, to roll on the ground.
He wasn't no big guy, but the guy that he put the feet in through the windshield.
That dude got out of the window. He
knocked about four people out of the way on the way to him. But they never connected.
They did rear for one time, but yeah. It was just a pushing match.
It was cool, though. And you know where that happened? That didn't happen in New Smyrna. Didn't happen at DeSoto Speedway. It happened at Toledo, Ohio. They don't do that up north. That's what John Birdie keeps telling me.
I thought they were calmer up north.
It's all situated and calm and...
Yes. That's because John never reported on that kind of stuff.
I guess they don't do it at them two tracks.
Speaking of Birdie, I'm still waiting for him to get us these hot rod modified drivers on the show.
Have you noticed that since we started the show, people quit calling us?
A couple of people have.
Quit calling us.
Yeah, imagine that.
Can't imagine that.
And nobody owes us any money yet, so it can't be that.
Not yet. Keep calling them. I mean, keep doing
that. So, on this edition here, which happens to be number four, we have Dave Mader III on at about 7:30 tonight.
7:30.
And Dave Mader III has been around a long time. He's raced Winston Cup, you name it, he's raced it. And he didn't just go race Winston Cup one time to get in there. He raced it. So he's been around.
And we got Scott Walters.
How old's Dave now, do you know?
Just 40.
Maybe 50. I'm not sure. We'll ask him. We'll ask him.
I have.
I mean, he raced as late as in the 90s, did he?
70s.
Oh, yeah.
Snowball.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Still.
He's still racing.
We're expecting him to come down to maybe some of these big super late model races in Florida later in the year.
He's tearing him up. He won a race this year.
I meant NASCAR, but okay.
NASCAR.
No, I don't think so.
No, but Scott Walters, he's ran Busch. He's ran. He had a truck ride, full season of truck ride.
That's right.
Ran about 4 years of that. Lots of all pro racing. Scott's been around.
Been around
in the Hoosier Cup race.
And then we're going to speaking of NASCAR after the 8 o'clock break. We're going to talk to Larry Mattingly, who's the I think his official title is the public relations director for Jennerstown Speedway, which is a NASCAR track in outside Pittsburgh. It's not just any NASCAR track. This is one of the best promoted, best marketed tracks in the country. They really do a good job of getting their information out. They have a lot of big events there. They have NASCAR, big names coming in there all the time doing things, and it's pretty good. That's at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we got Jesse Dutilly's in the house, Dean Buttram, Zach Cabalona. Who else we got?
We have
Paulie Milam.
Paulie
in the house. Milam's here somewhere. He's hiding again.
Paulie made it.
Yeah. He is Daisy Dukes, just for the record.
Yeah,
I want to make sure that
we got to go over that.
I do not want to miss out on my opportunity.
No doubt. I've heard you
Paulie Milam does as good a job. There's nobody, I don't believe, in Florida who does a better job at promoting their racing program than he does.
Absolutely.
Not only that, you got to remember, Paulie Milam didn't start in this game when he was 16 or 15
or
14.
That's right.
He started eight years ago.
That's right.
I mean, he just decided to go racing, and
we're
going to
talk.
A good job.
We're going to talk to Rick Bristol, who's promoting the Tommy Hopkins 200 lap truck race memorial deal later in the year in December, I believe. He has a very special announcement. I forgot to tell you guys. He has a very special announcement about who's.
How could you forget? We've been here for 2 hours.
There was just so much.
He's finally got some things.
Oh yeah, there's some very. We're going to talk to Mike.
We've been here for 2 hours and we didn't. I don't think we talked about this show for 5 minutes.
I don't think so. We talked about politics.
Politics.
We're going to speak later in the show with Mike Peters, the owner of Ocala Speedway. Get a little update on the 12 hours of Ocala.
I've gotten three emails from people that know me fairly well that go, you've got to be kidding me. All three of them. You've got to be kidding me, man. What are you going to do from midnight till 6 in the morning?
We're going to get an up-to-the-minute report from some testing that happened over the last few days at Talladega Speedway.
And what a surprise from, who was the fastest guy up
there. Yeah, the surprise of the world is who was the fastest guy out there, and that's when we're going to talk to birthday boy Scott McAllister.
Also, we got some pretty critical news about Auburndale that we might bring up, if we got time towards the end of the
show.
Yeah,
if we get time, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going to happen and what you can expect to go on at Auburndale Speedway. And what was that? He's getting pretty good at these sound effects. You know?
It's not bad, huh?
And that's not over the computer.
That's
Bill.
That's raw Bill.
I can help you out there,
And also, we're going to have an update on the future of Charlotte County Speedway. So there's two tracks in the state that we might get to and bring some...
Charlotte County, you know, in reality, three tracks could change hands like that.
Three? Oh, yeah, more than that, actually.
Well,
yeah, you're right.
There's a few more out there that
you're
might
right.
go.
You're absolutely
but
right.
But three could go really quick.
You're absolutely right.
And hopefully they'll all still remain tracks is the trick.
Well, you know how the sandbar islands off the coast of Florida, how they change with the ebbs and flows of the tides and the storms?
Yeah, I like that, ebbs and flows.
Yeah,
sure, bring up sand. Sand Mountain, they're still trying to get that going. Come on.
Where's the beach zone?
Sand Mountain Speedway is one of these days. Dale what's his name, is going to have the biggest, baddest dirt track in Florida ever.
Right
Dale, what? What's his name?
I don't know, but right now it's all dune buggies. That's all I can tell you.
Four wheelers.
It's dried out.
So we'll get to all these guests when we quit running our mouth, and we might have to go to some curls. Good. You guys got something else? Or we got?
I don't know. We can take a quick break and we'll come back. Who's the gentleman sitting in the hot seat, Jack? Who's the gentleman sitting in the hot seat? You got it written down. I don't. And Rick, he didn't do his job. Get me the bio up here. Where's Rick DeBio,
all right,
man?
We have to go to commercial break in order
Rick
to get
DeBio,
all this
man.
Straightened out.
All right. Let's go to break.
Commercial. Hang on. Don't go away.
This is Bobby Dio with Fast Media Group. You are listening to Short Track America, where I go for all my racing news.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring in to them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So we're welcome back, all you insane race fans sitting out there in your lonely little room with your lonely little computer. Hooked up to Karnak.com, Short Track America, and all that.
It's hard to say. It's not a lonely world.
700 people just dropped off.
It's not a lonely world
you're
if you're listening.
8,200 and 700.
They won't call me anymore either.
They're not going to call you anymore.
Seth Greco, welcome.
Thank you.
To Short Track America.
Did you turn
Real
the switch
Racing
on?
USA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, turn that switch on. There you go.
Crank her up. Now
yeah, turn up the volume, Hans.
Okay, Hans.
Go ahead. Say hi.
I thought that was Henry.
Hello.
Hey, Henry.
Hello.
Say it like you mean it.
Hello.
Hey, say it!
Oh, sorry.
Okay, you got the info.
Well, hey, tell us about what's it like to stand on the podium of a racing series banquet and get the big trophy. What's that like?
It feels good.
Was it? I was going to say, was it taller than you?
Yes.
Yeah. This was for the Florida Mini Cup?
Uh-huh.
You were last year's champion.
Huh?
Were you last year's champion?
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How did you manage to win it? Was this your first year?
No.
Okay, so you tell us.
Let me help you out here. Radio 101, give me the long version. You're like in school. You got to write a whole paragraph, not give me a half a sentence. Okay.
Okay.
That's how we start teaching.
Yes, Bill. You're good.
I know.
You're good.
Bill's the best.
He's good.
He's the best.
He's good.
So anyway, mini cup, they didn't give you a mini cup, then they gave you a big cup.
Yeah, a really big one. It was 7 foot tall.
Wow. How'd you get in the car?
How did I get in it? Yeah. I got in it from the roof.
Okay. How the did roof. You get the trophy in the car? You listen
oh,
as well
I
as
did.
These guys do. How did you get the trophy in the car and get it home?
I couldn't get it.
Oh, in the back of the truck. You got to ride the back of the truck all the way home screaming and holding the trophy. Oh, okay. Dad made you lay down, huh? Sounds like fun.
So anyway, how'd you get started in this? I mean, did you just climb in a mini cup car, or did you have prior experience?
No, my dad actually took me to a little racetrack in Lakeland, and I started out in go-karts for 6 years.
Pavement or dirt?
Dirt.
Started out on dirt. So in what got you to progress to the mini cups? What took you out of go-karts into the mini cups?
I won a championship in the go-karts when I was 7 years old, and
That's okay. Relax.
He decided to give me a little more challenge and go to the mini cup cars, and I was the
I knew you scared
one.
Me when you said there was 8,200 something people listening.
No, 700 dropped off when Jack started us.
Seth, don't pay no attention to these guys. Trust me.
So anyway, Seth, you climbed into the mini cup car. What's the difference in the mini cup car to the go-kart that you raced? Hold that microphone right in front of your face like that.
It's a little difficulter to drive because in the go-karts, it's on dirt and it's slippier. And on asphalt, it's
You get hooked up more?
Yeah.
And in the go-kart, did you run other tracks or just the one track in Lakeland?
No, I raced different tracks. We raced all over the place. The farthest we went was Ohio.
So, but that was that part of the series you were running in
yeah,
the go-karts?
Yeah, we ran for WK Nationals.
And what group did you win? You won the championship
purple
in WK,
plate.
Right?
Purple plate.
Purple plate. And tell everybody what purple plate is.
It's a restrictor plate.
What kind of tracks did you run on? Were they just strictly ovals, or was there
ovals.
Some road course? It was ovals.
Yeah.
What size? From what size to? Like what? Like little regular go kart tracks?
Yeah.
Eighth to quarter mile. Pretty big track though for a go kart.
Mm-hmm.
What tracks are you running at now with the mini cup car?
Now we're.
Oh, you're in the trucks, right? But I mean, what did you go? What tracks were you running at?
We raced Orlando, Auburndale, Bronson, Inverness, and was Ocala.
Ocala. And then you came out of the mini cups and into a truck?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the progression from that like? I mean,
a lot different.
Yeah.
A lot different.
You personally climbing into that thing for the first time, how did you feel? Were you nervous?
Scared.
Were you scared? But what got you over that? Because, I mean, you're doing good now. Just seat time?
Yeah.
Pretty much seat time?
And getting in a wreck.
Dad?
Uh-huh.
Put that microphone
wait,
up.
All right.
Did you catch that? Getting in a wreck.
Getting in a wreck?
Yeah, we got in a nasty wreck right out of the chute.
So what kind of wreck did you get into? How bad was it?
A real bad one.
Did you get turned over?
No, okay. I hit the wall.
How much?
Head on.
How much did it cost?
$6,000.
Did you get out of the car and think, now that was a bad wreck, and I'm still standing here, so I'm invincible?
Well, he got out of the car and knew that I had told him not to get in a wreck on our first race.
It was your first race?
Last turn, he was going to take third away when he'd been chasing the guy for 24 laps.
Going for third? Going for it all on the last lap.
Be aggressive. Come on, get in there.
So when it happened, did it seem like slow motion? You said, oh, this is going to hurt, or was it just bam?
Bam.
Bam, and it was
quit.
Over? Did it hurt?
No.
Didn't hurt at all?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm telling you. Invincible.
It hurt. It just didn't hurt him.
That means the truck was right, though.
Just go right to sprint car, son. It'd be a lot easier.
Don't cut the fingers out of your glove, right?
Oh, so this was in a truck?
Yeah, this was in a truck.
I got you.
And what racetrack was that?
That was at Charlotte County.
Ow, it hurts in Charlotte.
That's
right. It doesn't hurt the driver, it hurts the car.
Yeah.
Wow.
Straight away wall, overcorrected.
Hold that up, too.
Yeah, we can't hear you if you got it down there.
And Joe, what got you thinking that Seth was ready to get in a truck?
Well, I just natural progression. I mean, we won 15 of 22 races in the Mini Cup. There wasn't a bunch of challenge left. We'd run to the same tracks every other week. We'd be at the same track again. So
gotta hold that microphone right up, dude.
There just wasn't much challenge. They were going to run the same tracks again this year.
Yeah, but a lot of people go from a Mini Cup car to a Mini Stock car.
Well, Bobby has this Fast Truck Series that allowed the kids to get in the trucks at 12 years old. We were 12. It was a natural progression into a truck. I felt he was capable of doing it, and it seemed right for me. I didn't want to go into a beater car or anything like that. I wanted to have something that looked nice. Sponsors had good signage on the vehicles and stuff, so it just seemed like a natural progression for me.
So now, do you think, after the first race, in a wreck, were you having second thoughts that
he was
ready for that?
No. We loaded the trailer and took it straight to the shop. Got it fixed.
Wait,
there is one more person I'd like to at least get a nod from. But when he hit the wall, Mom, what were you thinking?
Mom's over in the corner there.
I'm sure it might be a different story from her point of view.
Yeah, we want to be mad at him as well. She didn't care that he ran.
Just
we know what dad knew. It was 6,000.
He's out just yourself, Mom. What's your name?
Susan.
It was exciting to get him out there. He's doing really well. He's running fourth place, trying to take third. He's going down the last laps. Everything's looking good, and then suddenly he hits the wall. What kind of thoughts went through your mind?
Right in front of me and Grandpa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're standing at the fence. He sprayed radiator. The truck hit right in front of my dad and her and sprayed radiator water all over them.
As you were up cheering.
Right at the fence.
So what did you think?
Well, first instinct is to make sure that he's all right. Everybody's screaming, what's wrong? Is he okay? And as soon as you find out he's okay, he gets out throwing stuff and upset, because he wants to take third. I should have sat back and waited.
Should have sat back and waited.
So, what were your thoughts? Were your thoughts
once he was okay?
Was it loading up the truck and going on getting it fixed for him to do it again?
No, she didn't load the truck.
The thought process of either parking that truck or taking it, getting it fixed, and putting it back in.
The Hans device and everything, all the equipment inside the truck, when he got out, I said, okay, we're fine.
Is that what you use, the Hans device?
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah. Cool.
I believe Bobby's made it mandatory for next year.
Oh, that would be Bobby Deal.
Bobby needs to call us.
Anybody knows where Bobby Deal is, please stop him on the street. Have him call us now.
941-748-3490. That's 941-748-3490. Bobby Deal, give us a call.
Seth, I got to ask you also, though, after that wreck, did you at any point take time during that next week when you looked at the truck to go, wow, that was pretty close. I could have gotten hurt in this thing. And were there any time that you kind of thought, well, maybe I should take it a little easier at some point?
Not really.
Okay, so
I did think I should take it easy sometimes and lay back and take the position it's the last lap.
There you go. Take fourth and settle for fourth. Yeah. What position did you actually wind up in that night?
Dead last.
Dead last. So everybody went by before you got the start-finish line. So, okay.
Yeah, the start-finish at Charlotte's on the other side. He come off of, turn two there where everybody parks.
Right.
and hit the wall right in front of our trailer.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he did really great for the first race if he would have just stayed behind the guy he'd been chasing for 24 laps.
That's okay. It's happened to a lot of other people, trust me.
And we got it out of the way, right out of the chute.
And trust me, you guys have a great attitude about it, because there are other families that mom has shut them down or dad has gone, this is maybe too crazy, let's back off and let you get more seasoned in go-karts or quarter midgets or something else.
And straight to Ambassador and told JR, get that thing ready.
What are you looking at for? Okay. Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to ask him about the sponsors.
You go ahead.
Who's on first? So what's for next year? What are you looking at?
We're going to race a full. We're only allowed to race 7 races to keep his rookie status this year. So this last race, we got one more coming up. Go ahead.
I'm giving you the signal.
We're going to race the last race, Charlotte, this coming weekend, and then we got another driver going to race it for the rest of the season.
Strategic planning.
Now, you will still take him to the tracks and he'll get some of the practice time?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. No, we're going to test with the guy who was supposed to be here tonight, Francois, at Orlando. He just bought two trucks. We're going to test with him at Orlando and get him ready for next season. We got to buy another truck, and we're going to race for a championship next year in the truck.
We can't wait to talk to him. What's his last name?
Francois Pelletier.
Yeah, we can't wait to talk to him. I think he's going to be with us next week.
Next week.
He called me and we talked on the
Francois
phone for a while.
Pelletier.
A well-spoken.
Francois.
Well,
Seth, who's the sponsors on your racetrack?
My uncle at Apex Mortgage, my dad, my grandpa,
Grandma, Sam Ray,
Rick Ariama, Fast Times, with Rick Ariama and Susan, they've been good to me.
F&L Drywalls.
F&L Drywall.
Meridian Electric.
How do you say it? Meridian.
You got to practice that in the mirror, bro. Yeah.
No, that's okay. That's all you do. And you know what?
That's all you do.
The more you do this, the easier it gets. Yes, you do this, and you ask that gentleman sitting right behind you right there, he'll tell you.
And he didn't
start
when he was
your age. He talked on the microphone, he couldn't even remember his own company's name.
And you do it a lot. There's other, you know, anybody out there, any radio or internet broadcast you can get hooked up with to do, you call them up, say you want to be on their show.
That's
and
right.
Do it, you know.
Apex takes care of us. They're good to us.
Every time you win one, you come back and talk to us. Heck, we'll talk to you again. Yeah. We'll keep helping
Absolutely.
You out. We like doing that.
Seth, Joe, Susan, we appreciate y'all being on the show.
Thank you.
Wish y'all the best of luck in the world. Stay off that wall, man.
Yeah, stay out of the wall.
That's it.
Think about it next time on the last lap. When you see the white flag, settle for what you got. If they give up something, golden. But otherwise, you might not want to get yourself in too much trouble.
Jefferson would have never backed off.
That's right.
Nah.
Neither would Pauly.
Records are checking.
You did right.
You did good.
Seth Greco.
Seth Greco, thanks a lot, brother.
All right. Going to be back right after this short break, and we will get into some major, major interviews tonight. Don't go far.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Never has one man written so much for so many. Without you, the world may never have known you can't hug with nuclear arms.
I need a hug now.
And just like you, I too would rather be fishing. Or square dancing, or even shopping.
Oh, yeah!
I owe, so off to work I go. You said it, brother. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
That's what I meant to do.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Real Racing USA, and we are going live.
Alabama.
Yeah, all the way to Alabama.
Sweet home
Dave
Alabama.
Mayer the third. Dave, I hear you back there giggling and laughing.
Sweet home Alabama, that's right.
That's right.
So how is it in Alabama tonight? Are we wet, dry, or how's it going?
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. Clear as a bell, and been about 80 degrees today. It's going to go down to about 55. It's beautiful.
You know, I spent some time in Alabama. I taught ROTC at Bessemer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about as irrelevant as it gets. Yeah.
I just wanted to make him feel at home like he knew somebody. That's
yeah, well, I grew up in Homewood, which is in the Birmingham area.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know where Homewood was at because that was one of the places I looked at apartments.
Yeah, that's where I grew up, and in the early 90s, I was driving for Harry Melling, the number nine that Bill Elliott made so famous, and so I'd make my rounds. I was
where'd you go?
Dang, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was going to ask you before you got to Harry Melling and stuff. How did you get into racing? How'd you get started?
Get into what?
How did you get into the racing business at all? How did you meet Harry Mellon? How did you get into that car? That kind of thing.
Well, got into the race business. My dad was a driver for 24 years and was in the Darlington Record Club, won 430 races, and started off in, we were from West Virginia, and he raced in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, all up, through that area of the country. And moved to Birmingham in 59. I was 4 years old, and kind of the story goes from there.
Hey, this is Rick Angie's. Prior to your Winston Cup career, you ran some Busch races. The late models are really where you've been at. You drove a lot down here. We're coming at you live from Bradenton, Florida right now. We're in Bradenton, Florida right now.
Okay, great.
Right, you had some trips around DeSoto Speedway. I remember seeing you at Sunshine Speedway for a couple races.
Oh, yeah, we ran the Triple Crown there for several years in the mid-'80s, won several races at Bradenton, and never did win at St. Pete, but we ran second there a couple times, and, loved that area of the country, and miss, not getting down there as much as we used to run.
Right, but
going back to the Harry Melling deal, I was four of my NASCAR National Championships and All-American Challenge Series, and had started some races for Dick Baer in Statesville, North Carolina, and ran for Ronald. Well, it wasn't Ronald Cooper. It was Ronald was the son of the Busch car that I drove out of Statham, Georgia, and Gene Roberts was the crew chief on the car at the time. And they all got together and decided to let me try it. So I ran six races with them.
That must have been fun.
Oh, it was a highlight of my career, obviously. Got to run the first night Winston because of the car owner points. And Junior Johnson, Bill went to Junior, and Junior's car wasn't in the race, but due to Bill driving the car, got Junior's car in. And that was really a highlight, all the hoopla on the first night race on a super speedway, and the whole gig was, just a memory that will always be there, right up there.
So you went right to the high banks?
Big track? I had run
Talladega,
Atlanta,
right?
In 1975, and I started in 72, and we got an invitation
for a race that ran the old Atlanta racetrack with the guardrail around it. I had a 64 Chevelle. It was owned by Johnny Day in Fayree, Alabama. And we was running third in the race and was going to finish in the top three. That was the first Super Speedway race Neil Bonnet won, driving for Bobby Allison. And so I've got just some wonderful memories. I had some great races that I was involved in like that, and Bradenton is certainly one of the highlights of my career. I've won the C-Fest 100 a couple times down there, and it seemed like the last race of the championships were in the Bradenton area, and I got to do my celebrations at Bradenton, and so Bradenton's a special place for me.
Well, that's great. We're talking to Dave Mader III. Dave, 1978, man, you took the Rattler 100, and then you followed that up with the Snowball Derby win. That had to be one awesome year for you.
Well, yeah, I tell you, 7 years, we didn't only win the Rattler and the Snowball, we won the Magic City 200 in 77. Well, no, I won it in 77 and 79. And we won 28 races in 78 and 22 in 79 with Bob Ray Jones. Had just a phenomenal year, and the Snowball was one of our wins in those 2 years. What a great run we had. I mean, it was racing Jody Ridley, Ronnie Sanders, Billy McGinnis, every week. We racing all over the Southeast. And the Snowball Derby is certainly, one of the highlights of my career, and I'm so glad that, I was able to win that.
I want to ask you, though.
I want to win it again.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That'd be awesome. I got to ask you, though, now all those years in there, the 70s through the late 70s, did you kind of hang with the same guys, the same team helping you out, same crew chief and stuff, or did things change along the way a lot?
Well, I said in 78 and 79, I drove for Bob Ray Jones up to that point. From 72 to 77, the end of 77, I drove my own stuff. My father and I owned, and I got a break, and Neil Bonnet had drove for Bobby Ray, and he couldn't do nothing with the car. They got Ronnie Sanders drive the car. He couldn't do nothing with it. Kel Yarborough even drove the car. That's why it was number 11. Was he was the last one to drive it. It was on Talladega weekend, and Kale came from Talladega, came to the race, drove the car. He couldn't do, nobody did, could do nothing with the car. So Bob Ray just parked it, and he went down to the river, and he told his buddies, Tommy McCoy and Al Hall, he said, well, just go out there and, get somebody to drive the thing next week, and I'll give you enough money for two tires. So they come out there and asked me, and next week we came out there to a 100-lapper, and he said, well, we've only got enough for two tires, and Bob Ray isn't even coming. He's just disgusted with the car. And we passed Jody Ridley and Casper Miles in one and two, about 50 laps in, all at one time, went on and won the race, the first time I drove the car. And went on to, like I say, win 50 races in the car in 78 and 79. But we was together, with those people for 2 years. And then I went to Jackson, Mississippi in 81 and drove for Bill Ross. So things change. And, they was promising, a Busch car and some other things. And I wanted to do some other stuff. And through the years, I went back and drove for Bob Ray many times and won many more races. I've won 222 races up to this point this year, and I've probably won 80 to 100 with Bob Ray.
That's awesome, Dave. Now, you're still racing. How old are you, Dave, if you don't mind me?
I'm 51. I turned 51 June 30th.
51, and you won a Blizzard race this year up at Pensacola.
Yes, I won a Blizzard race and a race at Mobile. I've had 32 winning years, which is I've won at least, I call it, feature. I never did count heat races. I should have, but I didn't. I've had two non-winning years, and the 34 years that I've driven, and this year I've been fortunate enough to keep that streak alive by winning a Blizzard race and a race at Mobile.
Well, and not only did you win that Blizzard race, Dave, there was a little scuffle after that race, wasn't there?
Yeah, what happened was we had a I'd led most of the race, and I was having a right rear flat, and we didn't have any cautions, and 10 laps to go, I was running third, and we came in the pits, put our rights on, came back out. By the time we was getting ready to start back, it was a green-white checkered. So they dropped the flag, and Augie Grill got under Casey Smith, by the flag stand going into one. Casey turned down to defend his lead, I guess. I don't know what the boy was thinking. I mean, Augie had him, and they got together. They gathered up, and I got under both of them down the back straightaway. Casey elected to stay out there three wide, turned into Augie again, and wrecked. And we went on and won the race. And after the race, they were upset that I got under Augie and made him three deep. And that's what none of us could understand, the logic of, we're on a racetrack, and where does it say how many breaths you can run?
So they came back mad at you.
And they was mad at me, and I never touched anybody. I got under Augie clean. We never got together. Casey turned down on Augie again, going into three, and wrecked himself.
Wow.
So, and they got mad at me. So, I really hate poor sportsmanship. The smartest thing to do would have been, to take a good solid third in that case, and come back, and try to win again next time. But they elected to, show their butt, and that my daddy is 75 years old, and Casey Smith had a hold of my daddy and was going to hit him, and for no reason. And because we was trying to get away from them, because they were all hollering at us about that situation, which was ludicrous to start with. And one of my guys, defended my daddy. Took care of Casey and got a hold of him and got him away from my dad, thank goodness. And it's a real sore spot, for me, because that's like Casey going up in the grandstands and trying to pick out a 16-year-old girl, as far as I'm concerned, to go after a 75-year-old man.
You're still passionate. Dave, sounds like you're still pretty passionate about it.
He was screaming at us.
And Dave, you're pretty passionate about that event, aren't you?
Well, yes. I mean, that was really uncalled for. And
there
it's
you
just
go.
Terrible to see people act that way. It just really hurts me. I mean, it really hurts me to know that we still have people that want to take a situation and try to turn it around on an innocent person, which, they were wrecking. I wasn't. And I took advantage of the situation. We're coming for the white flag. I'm not going to follow them if I got a chance to win this thing. Say, I'm a racer.
Now, Dave, we sit back here all the time and talk about the things that make racing interesting across the South, and one of those being some of the encounters that happen on the track, whether it be the family feuds in the pits or up in the grandstands.
Exactly.
So we know that tends to make people take a look a little better. Now, after that incident, did more people tend to take a peek at you and say, hey, there he is, the guy that won last week, but, everybody was trying to beat him up?
No, not, most people knew somebody that told them, what happened, and if they didn't see it, and the consensus of that is, kind of what I'm saying is it's just terrible to see poor sportsmanship still, festering like a pimple at some of our races. It's just, I think it hurts the sport instead of helps the sport. But, hey, it's going to happen. It's part of our sport, and you have to deal with it. And I'm upset with them, going after, trying to hit my dad like that, but, for no reason. But, I know he feels bad about it probably in his heart. and it'll, hopefully it'll make him a better person, and he'll go on and do well.
All right. Now, Dave, you know, putting that behind us and everything, you also had some sprint car experience this year.
Yeah, I tell you, that is absolutely. I've been trying to sell my late model, my super late model, to where I could buy one of those things.
You sound like Dave Fletcher.
A new toy.
Oh, my God.
Did you enjoy that?
Dave, what sparked that?
It's something I've always wanted to do but never had the opportunity. Things never fell right, you know, for that opportunity. And, you know, up to this point, and I'm in a point in my career, you know, I'm not Winston Cup racing or running for a championship, or and it came about, and I love those cars. They have, you know, when my dad started, you know, they're running the 32 coupes and sedans, and you know, and then we had what they called Skeeters, was the birth of the sprint cars and stuff that ran down here in Pensacola and Mobile every week. And, you know, so as I'm coming up as a little man, you know, I've got to see these cars run and just always enjoyed and was interested in seeing what they was like. So I found out.
There you go.
So what was the experience like, Dave?
Sex. Got it. I need one.
Oh, you've driven one though, right?
It was great.
It was great.
Do you want a limited or a full size 360 410?
I'd rather stay with the 360s probably, you know, instead of the 410s. Like I said, I was really wanting to sell my car, and it's still for sale if somebody wants to buy it to where I can get one. But Johnny, his cars are old, and he's been doing it a long time and gave me the opportunity to do it, and God bless him. I appreciate it. But I want to have a good one, to, you know, a top-notch one to win with.
Dave, that's all well and good, but now if you sell your super late model, then we're not going to be able to talk you into coming down here and running the Governor's Cup at New Smyrna.
No, I'm driving. I've drove for Tony Smith and Steve Hall all year long, and right now, I'll probably drive for them until my replacement gets trained, which he's in training now. It's Mike Alexander's son from Nashville.
Really?
Yes. So
you know who's taking over.
The plan right now is I'm going to drive until Mike's son is ready to step into a super late model. And I'd like to have a sprint car to go, you know, run every once in a while.
So how is racing up in the panhandle of Florida and in Alabama these days?
It's alive and well. It's wonderful to be here. I'll tell you, you know, I moved here 2 weeks after Katrina last year, and I was in Mooresville, North Carolina for 13 years, and I just moved back here, and that's the reason I was going to go back to Birmingham. And the reason I didn't was because racing is dead at home. Birmingham is the racetrack is just you know, struggling for attendance and
BIR?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great little track.
Yes, it's just a shame that you know, all the history there is, you know, going, you know, the history will never go away, but the racetrack is.
Did you go to the surrounding tracks up there, Montgomery, Sayre, those kind of places?
Well, not really. I mean, Montgomery, you know, Hyundai, the little car manufacturer, there in Montgomery has rented the racetrack and is paying that man $100,000 a month, and all they're doing is parking cars out there.
You know, Dave, I had
a story about that.
Dave, I had a race fan from up there in Birmingham just this week send me a packet of newspaper clippings from the Montgomery newspaper with pictures and stories in the paper up there about that exact thing with the track being closed.
Right, in Montgomery?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, and it's what a beautiful facility. That was the first place I ever drove in 1972. Well, actually, it was the end of 71 when I made my first laps at Montgomery in a what we now consider a spectator car, which was a 56 Chevrolet. And that's where I started at, and it's terrible to see a beautiful facility that they have now sitting there with a bunch of cars parked on it and we can't race.
Well, now, there's some other nice tracks still running quite boldly in the Alabama area. Do you get up to Huntsville?
Well, I haven't in many years. Huntsville is definitely one of the prettiest quarter miles in the country, and I'm glad that they're still running. But besides Op and Huntsville, Usairi is still running, but it's somewhere you really don't want to go run much. It's a little quarter mile.
Oh yeah, no, it's in a bowl. It's like you'd fill up with water. You think it rained a bunch?
No, I don't know. It's just one of them places. It's just, I don't know, not conducive.
Now, BIR, though, BIR is one of those tracks that was the showcase for a number of years. I mean, the fairgrounds and the people, the ability to get people in and out of the place, just been a really nice track, even though it was kind of D-shaped and weird. It was
still
a good place
to
go.
Yeah, and what happened there was, you know, it was a horse track, in the early 1900s, and they put the football field and moved the front straightaway out, which made the shape of the track unusual, sweeping going into one, sweeping coming off of four, and tight, two and three, and but it's very challenging, and it's a good place to learn. It was a very good place to grow up at.
No doubt about that. You had to slow down in turn two. The rest of it was wide open.
Well, no, not really. It's only like 12 degrees, or maybe 10 or 12 degrees. It's not a lot of banking, and it's a 5/8 mile. It was very fast. It was a wonderful place to grow up at.
All right, Dave. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure talking to you tonight, man.
Hey, man, thanks for calling. I tell you, tell me about the races coming up in South Florida, in your area, because my car owner, matter of fact, had called me about the Triple Crown, and I've been trying to get a hold of David Rogers to find out what's going on. So what is going on down there right now?
Well, we have the Florida Triple Crown in next month.
And we also have the C-Fest is coming up at DeSoto.
The Triple Crown is the 19th, 20th, and 21st. First night's at DeSoto. Second night.
Well, October or November?
October.
October.
19th, oh, okay.
The 19th of October on Friday night race at DeSoto, and then it moves up to Bronson Motor Speedway for the second night, and then Sunday they finish the Triple Crown at Ocala. Then what was that other race?
October 6th and 7th is at DeSoto Speedway, Friday and Saturday night. We're going to
call that right?
That's the C-Fest 250.
Well, one of my car owners, I forgot to mention him, Butch Hancock, has family down there, and he was asking Steve Hall, the other owner, the man that keeps the car up, about running down there, and I told him I'd find out. I'm sure glad you called, and I'm telling you, look for Dave Vader. He might be down there this year.
We'll be looking forward to it, Dave.
That'd be wonderful.
I'm the announcer at DeSoto Speedway, so we'll definitely be looking for you.
Well, that's great. I tell you, I wish they could send me some information.
All right, I will get on that tomorrow for you, okay? I got your phone number. We'll get your address later on tonight, or I'll call you tomorrow for that.
And we're gonna get back to you before whether that comes through with the Triple Crown or not. We definitely want to talk to you again before the Snowball Derby.
Oh, that's great. I tell you, it's so exciting that you guys are keeping racing alive and well by doing this, and I know I have some fans down there, and certainly hope that we're going to get a chance to come down for the Triple Crown or something before the Snowball. And you guys call me anytime, and I hope to see all you guys there when we make it, and I hope we have a great crowd to put on a great show for them.
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot, man.
We appreciate it, Dave.
I'll be in touch with you tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Mader III. Wow, what an interview.
That's something else, I tell you what. And it's so nice to see you guys are that enthusiastic and still running in there.
Absolutely. Paulie Milam, what do you think of that? What did you think of Dave? Huh? Oh, yeah. We
can go to Paulie.
Paulie Milam thinks about this.
You can go to that after Paulie.
Well, tell us about it. What do you think?
There's some story there. I got to tell you, he's a guy from Winston Cup years ago.
Yeah. 92. Yeah.
Winston Cup, still racing.
Still at it, still winning.
And wants a sprint car.
Hey, we're all getting up. Yeah, he does.
We're all getting up years. Yeah, he started 2 years, I think, before Dave Pletcher went through. Racing when Dave was there.
Well, that's great. He sounds like a super guy, still winning there. God bless him. I hope I could do that.
He wants to get in a sprint car now. What do you think? Loan him one for a night?
Like,
sure.
I don't know. They're kind of light. Some sprint cars. How'd you like to go super late model racing?
Well, you got your trade.
I couldn't. Too heavy. It's too heavy, and the wheels are too narrow.
And there's no wing goods, right?
Now you got a clutch and a shifter. That's too much to do, guys.
All in all, our limited sprint and 360 racer at East Bay and around the state of Florida. Now, you've been. How many tracks have you been besides East Bay? Because everybody thinks of you, they think of East Bay.
Yeah, well, you know, that's where I concentrate. As you get older, you kind of hate to travel so much, but I'd say in the state of Florida, 7, 8, 9 track, different tracks.
You hate to see some of them go. I know, like, Thundercross went away, but
seen a lot go away. That besides that, they paved a lot of tracks that used to be dirt back in the day.
And we're going to spend some time with Paulie Milam in hour number two. And right now, I think, Bill, you have an announcement, don't you?
Yeah, there was a. I was talking to Taylor Andrews a couple of weeks ago when we were going to have Greg Leonard on, and we had the opportunity to talk about making a deal that would help the Leonard family. So Dayton Andrews Dodge, right there on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, is offering a racer's truck special. Buy any new or used Dayton Andrews Dodge deal and tell them, of course, that you heard it right here on Short Track America, and they will send $500 of your racer special deal to the sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera. That'd be for the David Leonard Foundation and charity. So looking to help those racers in need, that's always one of the nice things happening at friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge. He is your five-star dealership, so please make sure you drop by and take a look. If you're thinking about buying a new vehicle or upgrading your truck, go by Dayton Andrews Dodge and check it out, because he'll make you a whale of a deal and help somebody in need. 727-321-0500. Ask to talk to Taylor Andrews. Tell him Short Track America sent you, and that's Dayton Andrews Dodge, St. Petersburg, Florida.
And Greg Leonard, this one's for you, buddy.
Yeah, Greg, buddy, I don't know what happened, but this somebody one's made for a boo-boo.
We'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to take some break here.
Hey. Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep.
You gotta go to tech.
But sleep won't come.
Doesn't matter what you got under the hood.
The whole night through.
They're gonna check you close.
Your cheating heart will tell on you.
Don't get caught.
When tears come down like falling rain, you'll toss around and call my name.
Who you gonna call?
You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
Pay the fine. Take a couple of weeks off.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com. Or call 352-804-0078.
You're listening to Short Track America.